It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show here on CLNS Media. I am your host, Sam Sheehan, tonight. A little bit later on, we're going to get to Taylor McLeod, but thank you for tuning in with us. It's a Friday night. I appreciate you guys listening in, and we're going to talk about this this game that we just watched, a national TV game where the Boston Celtics were triumphant over the Minnesota Timberwolves, 91-84. Tonight's show, it's going to be sponsored by, you know them, that's DraftKings.com. And, you know, listen up, Hoops fans. Basketball season is back, and now your favorite hardwood hero is a return to the action, and it's time for you to put your fantasy knowledge to the test and win huge cash prizes every night playing one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings.com. There's a lot of ways to play. There's public contests, huge cash prizes. The best part, you get to draft a new team every day, and drafting a team, you know, that's the fun part, right, guys? I mean, well, I guess there's one more fun part, and that's winning cash doing it. You can ask Dan from St. Louis or Jeremy from Austin. They both turned a $3 entry into $1,000. Huge cash prizes and bragging rights away. Only at DraftKings. You can use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com to play free with your first depositor. You share $10,000 in total prizes tonight. Do not wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup. And you can seriously cash in tonight. That's CLNS only at DraftKings.com. Folks, welcome to the postgame show. We're going to be throwing to the call lines a little bit later, so hang in there, those of you who are calling up. We've already got a couple callers. But first, I want to bring in my analysts alongside me for tonight, Taylor McLeod. I'm going to throw to him in just a little second, but Taylor, what we saw out there tonight, you know, we saw a Boston Celtics team for the second, you know, second game in a row on national media when the lights were bright, absolutely smother an elite offensive team and hold them to a season low in points. You know, the Celtics themselves, absolutely brutal night shooting the ball, particularly from three. They finished up 16%, you know, one out of six. So they went 6 for 36, so only hitting one out of every six threes there. You know, it was a night when Marcus Smart led the team in not only shooting but scoring efficiency, which is never really what you're going to be looking for when you're the Boston Celtics. But at the same time, you know, they won the game. Taylor, what did you see out there for the Celtics tonight?
The Celtics, you know, they had those 3 days of practice, or maybe it was 2 days between the Rockets game and the Brooklyn game on the 31st. And since then, they've looked like a much rejuvenated team. Like you said, they've held two of the better teams in the league to their lowest score on the season, in the Cavs on Wednesday holding them to 88, and then tonight holding the T-Wolves to 84. So I think there's like a more pep in their step. There's more energy, and you're seeing it again, like we saw on the 18-game win streak or 19-game. I can't remember at this point. But you're seeing that again. And a thing they really did well tonight was they let one guy get his. Karl Anthony Towns had 25 and, you know, 23 rebounds, which was, you know, incredible in and of itself. But after Jimmy Butler with 14, Jamal Crawford had a handful of threes, and Wiggins had 10. But besides that, they kept everyone from scoring. In those nights when you can have one guy go off against you, and it's not even really going off 25 points, it's 25 points, it's not the end of the world. Those nights when you can have one guy have an impact and kind of limit everyone else, you're bound to win.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we saw that tonight. You know, it's rare that the Al Horford guy that's getting covered is the guy who eats. But, you know, I think Karl Anthony Towns is that good. You know, we see Horford get used a lot in switches. And, you know, we saw the Celtics play a lot of the game with some really interesting lineups. I thought, you know, they were basically playing three point guards and two centers for large stretches of the game, which I thought was interesting. And, you know, this was a game where the Celtics, you know, saw a lot of open shots. Like, it felt like they weren't necessarily, like, you know, doing anything wrong as far as, you know, taking the shots they were taking. It wasn't like they were taking bad looks or, you know, getting absolutely outplayed by the Wolves. It's just, I think Aaron Baines, I'm going to estimate he missed about 7,000 in close there. Maybe that's a little high, but I think that's about right, about 7,000 in and around the rim early on. And I think that, you know, the Celtics just missed a lot of threes, but, I appreciate – you know, Brad Stevens' wherewithal with him going to, you know, getting a lot of ball handling on the floor, getting guys who could score in the paint and, you know, get in there and get the offensive glass. And we saw that really turn the tide, particularly near the end of the game, to really like put the Wolves away.
Absolutely. I think what you saw tonight and what you saw again against Cleveland on Wednesday is them really getting back to the team they were when they were in the midst of that win streak. Even on these nights where they can't shoot well and they're not shooting well and it seems like there's a lid on the basket, they lock in on defense and they limit the other team's points, so they're hanging around, and then they go on their little runs, and then they start to, you know, click offensively, and all of a sudden they won the game. This was a game that would have fit perfectly in that win streak. You know, a game where the first quarter and the second quarter, it seems like they can't make a shot. Third quarter, they're playing a little bit better. And then fourth quarter, you know, Kyrie hits a couple tough buckets. Tatum ISOs once or twice. And they score and they put the game away. But I think when you play defense like this, you allow yourself to not be perfect on offense. And for this team to go far in the regular season and maintain that one spot and then just go far in the playoffs, that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up Jason Tatum, and I'm glad you did because, I want to talk about Jason Tatum. He had a pretty unremarkable night, but one of the things that, you know, I wanted to talk about real quick, it was something that was really impressive with how Karl Anthony Towns got his points after he was murdered by Jason Tatum at the beginning of the game. I've never seen
impressive.
A dead man get so many points. Yeah, that's like, it's really impressive to, you know, see him shake off being murdered on a dunk and just, you know, come back to life and go out there and get his points. I'm of the opinion that, I think that am I reading a little bit too much into it to be a little bit concerned with the, we did see a continuing trend where the second units where Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier are featured, those guys shot a lot more than Jason Tatum. And, you know, it worked out tonight. Those guys hit shots. They did what they wanted to do. But do you want Marcus Smart taking 13 shots a game when Jason Tatum gets 7? You know, like, I that would be a light critique. But what's your take when it comes to that?
Yeah, normally I wouldn't enjoy it. But Marcus Smart from the beginning tonight, he was hitting the mid-range jumper pretty consistently. And in a game where no one's really scoring that much and it's kind of mucked up, That is where Marcus Smart thrives. You know, he lives in the mud. So a game like tonight, I don't mind it as much. But moving on to the season, you know, the Celtics played, what is it now? They're 32-10, so 42 games, just over half the season. And if you're looking ahead towards the playoffs and you're not going to be able to muck everything up and you're going to need more scoring, and Jason Tatum is probably their second best pure offensive player. So 7 field goal attempts is not optimal for him. I'd like to see him up to, you know, what people were saying earlier, you know, 15. But tonight wasn't that night. And, you know, they got the win against a pretty good team. So I'm not complaining.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of, that's pretty much where we got to go with this one. You know, folks, just a reminder, you're listening to the CLNS postgame show. This one, it's Celtics Timberwolves. We're sponsored tonight, and when we're going to go to the call lines a little bit later, the call line is going to be sponsored by DraftKings. Just a reminder, you're going to use that clnsdraftkings.com to play free with your first deposit for a share of $10,000 in total prizes tonight. Don't wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup and cash in tonight. That's code CLNS at DraftKings.com, the game inside the game. So, Taylor, Celtics now, 32-10. They're over the halfway point in the season now, barely a week into January, just by virtue of their ridiculous December schedule. Do you really think that this can be a 60-plus win team by the end of the year? Like, I wanted to say that, you know, once the streak ended and we kind of saw them come back to earth a little bit in December, I kind of thought they might level out, you know, somewhere more along the lines of where they finished the year last year, around 53, 54 wins. But, you know, ever since they started getting rest again, they've played some, you know, not easy games, and they've found ways to win. What do you think that this is like the, this could be a team going forward that could, you know, end up with a one seed and be in great condition to sort of, you know, make the moves they need to make to, you know, get that all important home court advantage they're going to need against a tough Cleveland squad?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. What you're seeing now is you're seeing a team that had a couple days of practice, and you're seeing what just 2 days of practice did for them, and just, you know, to get out there, get off at a game mode for just a couple days and get a little bit of rest. You're seeing how much that helped them. So if you take that and then you couple it with the fact that the Cavs always kind of like go on a slide through January, you know, people start worrying about them, you know, is LeBron done? You're not, is LeBron done, but are the Cavs done? That happens. And then you take into account that the Celtics games are going to be spread out much farther than they have been throughout the rest of the season. So you're looking at a team that's going to be well-rested being compared with the Cavs who, you know, classically go on a slide. So, yeah, I think it's definitely possible for them to crack 60 and maintain the one seed. Obviously, you're kind of overlooking Toronto and Washington in that scenario, but I don't think Toronto and Washington are real threats. I think the only two teams in the Eastern Conference that are of any importance are the Cavaliers and the Celtics. So I think if you take into account all the factors I mentioned, the Celtics absolutely have a chance to win 60 games.
You don't think that you're not worried about a Dwayne Casey outdueling Brad Stevens, out-navigating him in the general in the coaching marching orders. It would be very interesting to see a Raptors Celtics postseason, just because I think that those, you know, we've never really seen them. You know, the Raptors have given, previous iterations of the Celtics trouble. I wonder how much that would carry over with this, you know, basically brand new team that's really just returning Al Horford and Marcus Smart as rotation players, I guess technically Jalen Brown. They have the highest, actually have the highest point differential in the East, which is very interesting because that tends to be, statistically a little bit of a better indicator of record than some of this other stuff, of where a team is at. But yeah, I'm also kind of trying to stir up some things. I don't think I also am kind of with you. Kyrie Irving flirting with a triple double tonight. If I'm reading my thing right, 16, 9, and 8. That could also be my box score getting Al Horford's points wrong, but I don't think it is. So that's a very Al Horford line, the 16, 9, and 8, the near triple-double. I think that we saw some interesting things where, you know, the Celtics rotation is pretty much set, but we did see Brad try out Yabu for a little bit there at the end of the thing. And I'm not going to lie, I call me crazy, I think that Yabu could have a place in this rotation a little bit later in the year, depending on the matchup. You know, I think once he gets, himself together a little bit more, there are going to be times, particularly I know that they were without, Marcus Morris and some of these other guys who might normally get the Yabu minutes, but he's just so mobile. While his positional understanding isn't there all the time, he had Marcus Smart kind of quarterbacking him today, and it went pretty well for those 4 minutes. Do you think Yabu will get into the rotation as kind of the year goes along?
I think as Marcus Morris gets healthier and is able to play back-to-backs and is able to, you know, maintain more of a workload, we'll see less and less of Yabu, even though we have been seeing a minimal amount of him. I like Yabu. I'm not as hyped on him as a lot of guys are. And I know some of it, you know, is whatever, tongue in cheek. I think he's a good basketball player. I just think he's real young right now. Like tonight he tried to post up Jimmy Butler, then turn around and pass the ball directly to Jimmy Butler. So stuff like that's going to happen. But I'd like to see the Celtics play more complete games so they have some time at the end to get a guy like Yabu some more minutes. But, you know, wishful thinking.
Yeah, hashtag blowout-averse Celtics. I mean, I do appreciate that they saved their only blowout of the year one way or the other for when the when the Cavs came to town. That was at least nice. We saw Daniel Theis, I'd say probably had kind of the worst game out there. He did finish with 8 and 10, but, struggled a little bit. He turned the ball over 3 times. Free throw discrepancy really going the Wolves' way at home. And it's not the first time the Celtics have, not shot more free throws than the opposing team at home. What do you think about that? Because I think that is something that kind of might become a little bit more important as you get into the playoffs. Given in the playoffs, the refs are more prone to kind of let guys play a little bit. But, we've seen this Celtics team getting to the free throw line is not a strength of theirs. And that's probably one of the biggest changes versus, the team last year with Isaiah Thomas getting to the line so much. Kyrie Irving, not as much of a free throw drawing player. Do you think there's any cause for concern about that?
I don't know if there's a cause for concern so much as it just kind of it is the way it is. Tommy Heinsohn was not pleased tonight with how few fouls the Celtics were getting called. And then on the other hand, Tom Thibodeau, even though the Wolves shot 15 more free throws than the Celtics, Tom Thibodeau cried all night long. I tweeted out that Tom Thibodeau sounds like he had his vocal cords shoved through a paper shredder. Because I heard him just screaming all night long, and that was terrible. But I don't think it's necessarily a problem because, like you said, they kind of let guys play more in the playoffs, and I think the Celtics team is really built for those type of games. And, it's not just because of Marcus Smart, but he's a huge part of it. Like, once these games get mucked up, and he can just kind of, drag someone down with him, the whole team starts to fall into that mindset, that dog mindset that Marcus Smart has. And so I don't see it as a cause for concern right now. If the trend continues to go downward throughout the season, then I'll obviously be concerned. But right now, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I think I agree with all of that. I think that, Smart is kind of the magic secret weapon where he is just he just wins games, which is such a – I always thought it was so funny when the Tim Tebow thing was happening in the NFL, and it was like he wins games, and it was so obvious that – they were kind of getting lucky, but as long as they kept winning the games, Marcus Smart is the real version of that. He really does win games despite being, sometimes having offensive nights that are not quite there. Real quick, just to, close out this first third of the show, and then we'll kind of try and get to the call lines a little bit after this. Taylor, would you, how many picks would New Orleans need to include in a Terry Rozier for Anthony Davis trade?
Probably 3 firsts and a couple seconds.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that you have to throw in Boogie at least, and maybe even like half of the franchise. I as much as I want to joke about Terry Rozier, and the untradeable, so much has been made of Terry literally going on the radio and telling people that Danny will never trade me, which is such a funny thing about, such a funny thing to say about a guy who traded Isaiah Thomas just this offseason, someone who is so important to the Celtics and just one of the most ice cold, GM things that I've seen in some years. And Terry Rozier is still just totally not worried about it. He's really come a long way. And I think that, there's been some really interesting pieces. I saw a couple on, Celtics Hub, and there's been some other ones where, guys are, Terry Rozier is really like a wing. Like a lot of his stats, his statistical profiles, the way he plays is, like a wing, and he's 6'2", and it's just, he's so long and he's so explosive and he's just so fun. And it's just really interesting to see, It's so interesting to see him sort of, mature into this, where he is this very fun sort of the other half of the chaos with Marcus Smart. The Celtics were losing Avery Bradley, and they still have this just ferocious defensive backcourt that they can unleash on second units. And I got to say, I'm really enjoying the Terry Rozier experience here in his third year.
I am too. Up until the trade for Kyrie, I'm a huge LeBron fan, so I've always followed his teams no matter where they went. And so, like, I just kind of fell in love with Kyrie over the years. So, but until they traded for Kyrie this offseason, Terry Rozier was always my favorite player on the team. You know, even in his rookie year when all he could do was sprint down the floor and jump towards the backboard and kind of just throw it wherever it went. Like, I just loved it. But now you're seeing – there's a cliche that, you know, and maybe it's a cliche for a reason, but the game slows down for guys, and I think you're really seeing that for Rozier this year and especially in the past 10, 12 days. Since Christmas, he scored 16 points, 15 points, 13 points, 14 points, 20 against the Cavs, and then 14 again tonight. And he's only averaging 9.4 on the season, so those are obviously higher than that. And if I had to guess, I'd say that he's playing a lot of one-on-one with Kyrie, because some of the handle you're starting to see Rozier develop and just the controlledness he has is reminiscent of Kyrie. Joe Sway actually tweeted that tonight. He's like looking like Irving's mini-me. And obviously he doesn't have the handle of Kyrie. No one has the handle like Kyrie. But some of the things he's starting to do and just some of the – so the way he's starting to play, getting to his spots really smartly and then just knocking down shots, it's starting to look really nice and it's a lot of fun. And everyone keeps complaining that the Celtics don't have enough bench scoring. If Rozier can keep pouring in 15 a night, and that's not obviously all the bench scoring they need, but it's a step in the right direction for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Folks, we're gonna throw the call lines now. The call lines for the CLNS post game show, they're brought to you by DraftKings.com. Now you might have missed it at the top of the show, but you know what? I'm gonna run through it again, folks, because basketball season is back, and that means your hardwood heroes, they're back. You can go to DraftKings.com. It's daily fantasy, and you can put your fantasy knowledge to the test, win huge cash prizes with the one-day fantasy basketball at DraftKings.com. They've got beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of a similar skill level, so there's, you know, no need to get intimidated. You're not out there against Haralabob Vulgaris or any of these other, like, you know, top sharps. You could be out there against me. You could be taking my money, and believe me, you will. I'm terrible. So the only thing better, it's winning cash, doing this. If you're out there on DraftKings.com, you get to draft your own team. You get to change it up every day, and you get to win the cash. Here's what you're going to do, folks. You're going to go use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com, and you're going to play free with your first deposit for a share of $10,000 in total prizes. And that's tonight. So don't wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now to choose your lineup, and you can seriously cash in tonight. That's code CLNS, as in CLNS Media. So that's CLNS is the code, and that's only at DraftKings.com, the game before the game. We're working with a two-man booth tonight, so we're not screening anybody or anything, so I'm just going to throw to who's there. I'm going to read out your number. First things first, we're going to go to 253. 253, how you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. Ty Ray, home of Isaiah Thomas in Tacoma, Washington. How are you?
Ty Ray.
Oh, Ty, what's up?
Ty, hey, how man. Are you doing, just, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Nice to have a very early start out here on the West Coast. It's only about 7 o'clock my time, so I'm free to have my own Friday night here away from Celtics basketball in a few minutes, but I thought I'd give you guys a shout out because as I'm watching the game tonight, it harkened me back to 5 years ago, guys, when I was hosting the Celtics post game show. I had the privilege of hosting the show many nights when the Celtics won 25 games in the first year under Brad Stevens. And it's funny, we fast forward, 5 years later, we're talking about a 60 win team. And back then when I was hosting the show, I would have these morons call me night after a game and tell me how the Celtics should tank for Andrew Wiggins. He was going to be the savior of the franchise. Let's lose every game. Oh, I'm so glad Danny didn't decide to go that route, and I'm so glad we have Coach Stevens, and I'm so glad that Danny and Coach Stevens, they took my word and they ran with it. I'm going to take credit for it. I said, you know what, guys? Culture is critical.
Absolutely.
On purpose, get you to the lottery. But you know what? You stay in the lottery. And so I look, 5 years later at where the Celtics are, and I'm so glad that Danny and Brad worked through that season. Brad Stevens that year won 25 games. I have no idea how he did it with that team, but he still won 25 games. Yeah. And we could see during the course of that season – that this team was going to be something and that Brad Stevens was going to be a great, great coach. And I'm so glad that 5 years later, I'm calling, you know, the post-game show and saying to all those people that told us, let's tank for Wiggins. And by the way, Andrew, who did he even play tonight? He was horrible.
Was
I was right.
I think,
yeah, absolutely invisible. Don't get me wrong. I think he's a fine young player, but he wouldn't have been worth, you know, tanking for. He wasn't going to be the savior of the franchise. And so once again, Brad and Danny proved everybody right by staying the course. And it was you know what? Some people think it's a slow build. Hell, it's been a rapid build, if you think about it. So I just wanted to get that off my chest because I was watching the game tonight, just getting deja vu from all of those nights. I would get those idiots calling me about, we need to tank, we need to tank, we need, even in the second season of Brad Stevens, it was, we need to tank, we need to tank, we need to tank. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. Secondly, guys, couldn't agree with you more about Terry Rozier. I was so happy the night the Celtics drafted him. And people forget, guys, that even in his rookie season, he played critical rotation minutes in that playoff series against the Hawks out of necessity. Absolutely. And we saw flashes of what he could do. I'm just so glad he seems like he's matured a bit and got his game under control. And if he continues to grow, I think we've solved our scoring problems off the bench. It's been so much fun to watch him the last four or five games. It's just been fun to watch his development.
If I might, I'm noticing a theme with what you're bringing up, and I wholeheartedly agree with all of it. And I think that is that Danny Ainge and the entire Celtics organization, what has kind of really steered them through this, into this rapid rebuild? I think that as you're running through this, this just occurred to me. What it is, it's just plain old cojones, man. Like, they are out there. The Terry Rozier pick, and I'm guilty of this as well. There was going to be a riot at like every draft party.
Oh, I remember.
When the Celtics took Terry Rozier. I was there. I had a pitchfork. I had a torch. I had them both. One in each hand. Like, and Terry Rozier, like who should they have taken instead of Terry Rozier? Everyone wanted Bobby Portis, who given has been playing a lot better, but also, you know, sent a teammate to the hospital. So you gotta take that into consideration. And you know, and who else? I guess maybe Rodney Hood, but I mean, look, Danny has done those. Yeah, I guess. And Danny has done these things. They went out there, they won games. You know, they went and made the Isaiah Thomas trade, and got killed everywhere. You know, on ESPN, because you're not supposed to. The idea was you're not supposed to buy anything when you're a rebuilding team. You're not supposed to try to get better. And boy, it worked out really good. And I think that that's just sort of, you know, going against the groupthink, I think has been the theme of your call. And I think that that is, you know, that is where the Celtics are able to hang their hats, through this aggressive rebuild. Though I will say, I am a little bit disappointed that Chris Humphries didn't end up being the team MVP 4 years in a row.
No, you know, he played his ass off that year too.
He did.
You know, he really
did.
We laughed.
Oh,
at Chris,
I wasn't joking. He was the team MVP that year. Incredible.
25 wins, and that team had no business winning 15.
Yep.
You know, it really didn't. But I just sitting here watching that game tonight against the Timberwolves and watching Andrew Wiggins, I just had these flashbacks of all these callers on the post game show just tearing into me. Because I wanted the Celtics to win. And what I tried to stress to them is you can't substitute a culture. And the Boston Celtics have a winning culture. And when you start chipping away at that, watch out. And it was that culture, guys. And I said this last year during the postgame show, during the playoffs. It's that kind of culture that got them through Isaiah's tragedy in the playoffs, that led them through all sorts of adversity through last year, and got them playing with house money in the Eastern Conference Finals. And I don't even think that team belonged to be there, but they still made it after beating, I think, a superior Wizards team with better talent. But you just can't recreate a culture. And I'm so glad that Danny and Brad, you can't. That's why for years and years and years, the Clippers were the Clippers, right?
Right.
Admired in last place.
Do you think the lack of that type of culture in Minnesota has impaired Wiggins' development?
Oh, of course. You know,
yeah.
Of course. I mean, I love the fact that when Wiggins bounced the ball, you know, inbound, I mean, just complete bonehead play for a guy that he's not a rookie. How many years has he been in the league now? Four
yep.
years?
He's 37 yeah. years old by my estimations, but I could be off a little on that.
So I was so happy that Tibbs just, you know, called timeout and chewed his ass, because those mm-hmm. are the things, those are the things that can't be tolerated. And I just, I'm so proud to have followed the Celtics for years and years, and to be to have been a fan because of that culture. They represent everything I want to be in life, mm-hmm. not just as a basketball fan. That's not just what I want for my team. It's what I want for me, is that kind of excellence. I want that kind of patience, too, to watch good things evolve. And
right.
on a final note, as you guys know, you probably know, I'm from Tacoma. You've heard me enough, I'm sure, over the years talk about it. You know, Isaiah Thomas, he means a lot to me. He means a lot to my hometown. And I just wish we could put this ridiculous tribute gate to rest. I just hope it's done.
Here, here.
I don't understand how this got so silly. Can you guys help me out with this? I'm out here on the West Coast, so I'm not privy to a lot of the things that you guys get. I know Paul's entitled to his own night. Paul played on one of my most favorite Celtic teams, you know, the team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in, 2002, and had no business getting there. And I want him to have his own night. He was a Finals MVP, blah, blah, blah. But how did we get this kind of hatred toward Isaiah? I don't understand.
Yes.
It's, to me, irrational.
Yes, I'm absolutely with you on this, Ty. I was making jokes on Twitter just because they acted like Isaiah Thomas wanted to come out and hit him with a banana cream pie in the middle of the ceremony or something. Like, he just
yeah.
We're talking about to quote the great Allen Iverson, we're talking about a 3-minute tribute video. I mean, we're talking about 3 minutes in the middle of the game. We can walk and talk, people. Like, everyone,
right.
I'm all right with processing information. I'm not gonna like immediately black out for 2 hours and miss the Pierce's tribute just because Isaiah Thomas's video. I mean, I guess, you know, it is Boston, so maybe that's not everyone, but maybe that is warranted a little bit. But I mean, come on, like, I don't know. It just seems ridiculous. It seems like a made-up talking point. It seems like something that is, you know, maybe driven a little bit by fans who are having a hard time, you know, kind of squaring the fact that what Danny Ainge did was cold-blooded, and I don't think there's any way around that. It was the right thing to do for the team.
It was unprecedented.
Yeah.
A trade like that had never happened before in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. It was absolutely cold-blooded, and, like, you know, I think that people don't feel great about that, and they want to find a reason to make this, I don't know, to find some resentment with Isaiah Thomas somewhere to feel better about it, because I think, you know, they know that, you know, the Celtics did not do great by Isaiah Thomas. Like, Isaiah Thomas, he has a reason to be mad, in my opinion. He did so much for the Celtics and their franchise. I mean, the Celtics also helped him. This is true. But we're talking about a guy who played through immense personal tragedy, played hurt. His teeth got knocked out, and he stayed in the game, for God's sake. I mean, this is like, I can't imagine watching the 3 years that Isaiah Thomas was here and coming away from it thinking that this was a Machiavellian like gentleman who's trying to coordinate and usurp Paul Pierce and somehow cheapen the decade and a half of Paul Pierce. It's silly, and I'm glad you agree with it. Taylor, are you with us, or do you want to hot take it? Do you want to skip Bayless this?
I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, you know I was fine with them trading Isaiah. Like, I love Kyrie Irving. I was fine with it. He's one of my favorite players, and it's not every day your favorite player gets traded to your favorite team. That being said, I think you're exactly right that people want – they understand that what Danny Ainge did was cold-blooded. Right or wrong, it was cold-blooded, and they want to blame Isaiah now. They want to be like, oh, Isaiah, you're being so annoying, or you're stop crying or whatever. And I think that's a Boston sports fan thing in general. But, like, like you said, I don't think a 3-minute tribute video, like, maybe even during a timeout, is going to make me forget that Paul Pierce had his number retired, like, 3 quarters earlier. Oh yeah, like
so silly.
It's so dumb. But also Paul Pierce, like, I love Paul Pierce. You know, he was the best player on the team me growing up through the 2000s. So, you know, I grew to love him that. But I mean, he's kind of like his whole tweet where he's like, or what he said on the jump or whatever. Where he's like, I kind of want my own night. It's like, bro, who? Come on, like. Jesus Christ, yeah. Who cares?
that's also right. I also kind of what we I kind of love that about Pierce, that even as an old man with like a media job and like getting everything, he's still I think that's kind of what made Paul Pierce great, was being able to take very little things and take them very personally and apply that.
Sounds like a Boston sports fan.
Yeah, I mean, right. I think that's why the city loved him. I mean, that's absolutely – that's the Celtics – I mean, that's Boston sports mentality right there. Like, you know, like being – like taking any – taking your – you know, feeling like you've been slighted, you've been overlooked, and just wanting to prove everybody wrong, I think is the Boston mentality.
We've got an entire region of people ready to burn ESPN headquarters to the ground because of a soft, not hit piece on the Patriots. Yeah, that's how
I'd like to thank you guys for pointing out that Isaiah Thomas played for the Celtics for more than a year. I'm like,
yes.
Every time I see on Twitter, it's like he had one good season. I'm like, no, not really. When they traded for him 2.5 years ago, they were like 12-26 or something. I can't remember the record, but he led them to the playoffs 3 straight years and had like a 48-point game against the Hawks, I think, in the playoffs 2 years. It's like, no, he made them relevant very quickly. And
he's the reason guys like Gordon came, and he's the reason that a guy like Kyrie, even though Kyrie was traded,
right.
You know, he's the reason that these pieces fell into place.
Well, and I'm going to go
and
ahead
the hypocrisy
a little crow. Too.
Oh, go ahead.
Like, I was one of the people, and I'm still not totally surrendering this point, but I'm willing to at least concede a little bit of it. I thought Jay Crowder was a much better player than he was, and it's becoming very clear that, like, you know, that Isaiah Thomas, you know, I thought that, you know, while Isaiah Thomas was having a great season, I also thought that a lot of the guys around that team, to a lesser extent, Avery Bradley, but Jay Crowder in particular and Amir Johnson were going to be badly missed. And I thought that they were doing a lot that, you know, people couldn't see, but man, it has not bared out that way. And it's looking, you know, that's something to take a look at. You know, you look at what Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are bringing on a night in basis. I know Jaylen Brown was on the team last year, but not in this capacity. I mean, he was figuring it out as a rookie. And to look at, you know, what Isaiah Thomas was able to do with what was demonstrably less.
Correct.
I just cannot imagine having a, you know, having ill will for Isaiah Thomas is absurd. And I just, I don't know.
It's what I've said too, you know, in an era where we bitch about players because they have no loyalty. I mean, look at what happened to Durant when he left OKC, you know, here's a guy that was an MVP candidate making, you know, $6 million a year, I think, at 29 points a game, and wanted to stay in a city. How many star athletes want to stay, right? And, you know, they're not going to the highest bidder. He would have been a Celtic for life, and we're complaining about that. Anyway, I didn't really want this to get on an Isaiah Thomas rant. I think the whole video gate thing is just BS and just fabricated. And anyway, guys, I'll let you go. Great talking to you, and I'm so glad we didn't tank. I'll leave it on that.
Yes, I agree with you, Ty. I appreciate the call. I think you injected some much needed Isaiah defense into this, which I had no idea I wanted to talk about, but here I am getting fired up after a Timberwolves game about Isaiah Thomas. I appreciate the call, Ty. Thanks so much for calling.
Take care, guys. Bye bye.
Yeah.
All right. Remember, folks, you can dial in toll free right now. 347-215-7771. You're going to give the takes, air your grievances, whatever it may be. And that's right. This is sponsored by DraftKings.com, and you're going to use code CLNS at the checkout to get yourself CLNS media. Okay, folks, so we're going to keep it going along. But first, I want to just talk to you a little bit more about DraftKings. They, you know, the hardwood heroes, the, you know, those people we're watching every night, those basketball players, they're out here, guys. And you can make a fantasy team with them. One-day fantasy team. We're halfway through the season. Doesn't matter. This is one-day fantasy, baby. You can go ahead and put together a team and win real cash prizes. And you know what? If it's a bad team, if maybe you mess up a little bit, guess what? Boom. No one the next day. The only thing that's better than that, it's winning cash doing it. You can talk to Dan from St. Louis, Jeremy from Austin. Both these guys turned a $3 entry into $1,000. Now, look, folks, it's tough out there. I could use $1,000. Some of you maybe couldn't. Good for you guys, but I think for most of us, $1,000 could go a long way. So what are you going to do? You're going to use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com. You're going to play free with your first deposit for your share of $10,000 in prizes tonight. You know what? Tomorrow, for that matter, but tonight. Like, why even wait? Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com now. Choose your lineup, and you can cash in tonight. That's code CLNS only at DraftKings.com. The game inside the game. Before we get to our next caller, Taylor, I just wanted to, like, follow up on, you know, kind of what Ty was saying before. I thought that, you know, because I think this gets misunderstood, and people kind of forget about this. But, you know, it's not like, you know, I think people would counter Ty's point about, you know, the Celtics not being able to tank well, they had the Nets trade. You know, they had this miraculous Nets trade where they didn't need their own draft picks. They had other, you know, another team's picks they could tank with. And you know what? Let's run through this real quick. Like, these Celtics teams that lured Al Horford and lured Gordon Hayward here. You know, that Jaylen Brown was not, you know, really part of the package that brought Al Horford in. I mean, he was drafted, but he could have been anyone. I mean, and people really didn't like that pick. You know, Jason Tatum was still years away. You know, the 2018 pick was not there yet. You know, the list goes on and on. The Dallas Mavericks picks was Yabu, who was, you know, stashed. The Celtics built this winning team, largely without their draft picks. And I think that, you know, that built the free agency, you know, the free agency base that lured these big free agents. I mean, maybe they looked at the picks and thought, oh, okay, like, you know, maybe they could get players I want or guys I want to play with in the future. But they weren't looking at those draft picks like, oh, I'm really excited for these young draft picks to, you know, get really good and play me out of a job. I mean, you know, like, a lot of times rookies take a long time to develop. Not everyone's Jason Tatum. So I don't know. What do you disagree with me? Like, cause I feel very strongly about the that, you know, I'm Isaiah Thomas appreciation, and, you know, that the Celtics, you know, it really was done largely without those net picks.
Absolutely. I mean, Isaiah was the recruiter. He's the reason Al Horford signed. He's the reason that Kevin Durant, you know, the Celtics were, you know, second or third in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. He was the reason. Sure, like, you know, if I'm Al Horford, I'm looking at this team, and, you know, even though James Young and RJ Hunter are super enticing, like, and I'm obviously kidding with that, like, you look at, like, this guy who's 5'8", scoring almost 30 points a game and has the heart of a lion. That's who you look at. That's who recruits you, and that's who brings you into the city. It's not the other stuff. It's Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, guys wanted to play with Isaiah Thomas. And, you know, that's the reason why they brought him in. Okay, so, again, not screening calls, but we're just going to throw to people and see how it goes. So I'm going to try and bring on someone from a 740 area code. 740, you're on with us. Nope, I think don't think they're going in right now. So I think they're there, but I think some technical difficulties, so we might not have them right at this moment. Maybe they could try calling back in a little bit. You know, well, let's try this one more time. We got a 740. We got you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Who are we on with?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good. Who are we talking to?
This is Miley Tomko from Ohio.
Hey,
what's
Miley,
up, Miley,
how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I thought that win was pretty impressive. They're on a roll. Mm-hmm. What do you guys
Absolutely.
Think of it so far?
Oh, it's been a great it was a good win. I think that I think we saw the Celtics out there, you know, take care of business against a top offensive team. We've been talking a little bit about, we got a little bit off topic, Miley, so I'm glad you're here to kind of reel us back into the game. What did you think about the Celtics shooting out there tonight? I mean, this was a night where the Celtics couldn't get anything to go down at all on some, you know, Wolves defense that is not exactly lauded or, you know, respected really throughout the league. So what was your take out there, sort of seeing the Celtics miss all these shots but still find a way to win the game?
I think they're just sluggish because it seems like that they get, like, really, they get, like, really careless with the ball, I think, when they do, like, back-to-back games, because I think it, like, wears them out.
Mm-hmm.
They constantly have back-to-backs, like, almost, what, like, every week?
Yeah.
In the middle of one tonight. They're back at it again tomorrow. So, the point stands, but, I think you're absolutely, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is the Celtics look sharp out there tonight, and it's, something we're not necessarily seeing, each night when we're watching this team, especially when that schedule got crazy in December, and now they've got to, turn right around and, another early game tomorrow, 6 p.m., weird start, going into Brooklyn. Miley, do you have any thoughts about this Brooklyn game? Some people, myself included, kind of think this is a sneaky team, and this is, a sneaky good Nets team. Like, maybe good's not the right word, but they're, you don't want to be catching them on the back of a back-to-back because they're energetic, they run the floor. Do you think the Celtics need to stay focused on this one, or do you think that they might, run the risk of overlooking a good Nets team tomorrow?
I think that they're going to survive it, and I think that they'll, like, stay focused, and they'll just, like, play as a team like they always do, because, I mean, I think that's one thing that separates them from everybody else. They have really good ball movement, and they get everyone involved, and that helps a lot, because you can tell with, like, players like Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Kyrie and Al Horford, and Tatum, most of all, because he's looking really good too.
Miley, what the people of Ohio think about Wednesday's loss for the Cavs?
Oh yeah,
oh,
give us
know.
A temperature reading. How are things in enemy
know.
Territory?
Maybe put something on Facebook about it. Be like, "Hey Cavs fans, how you feeling after losing there Wednesday?"
Perfect.
I bet I'd get it.
You're not afraid to stir the pot, is what you're telling me. I respect
it. Oh, no. I'm not afraid to do that.
Perfect.
All right.
Definitely Cavs territory down here, but I do have a lot of friends down this way, though, that do like the Celtics, so that's good news.
That's good
to
hear.
So you got a squad. All right. All right. So Miley, I want you to keep the faith there in enemy territory. Do you have any final thoughts for you before we let you go?
Well, I know this is a little far away, but I think if they play like this in the playoffs, I think they're going to be like a deep threat to the Cavs. Well, not only them, I think if they made the finals, that they would be like a team to mess with, and I think it'd be really close to call.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think that this is a team, and in the playoffs, you're getting these rests. No back-to-backs in the playoffs. And, the Celtics, I think I saw some crazy stat when the Celtics have 2+ games of rest, besides the Gordon Hayward injury, I think, counting tonight, they're now going to be 6-0 on the season. So,
wow.
Yeah, that seems to bode pretty well for them. Going forward. Miley, thanks so much for calling in, man. I really appreciate the call.
No problem. Thank you guys, too, and go Celtics.
Yes, sir. Have a good night.
Let's go Celtics.
You too.
All right. We're entering the twilight hour of the show. Once again, we watched the Celtics beat a Wolves team. Maybe I'm off base a little bit. This is kind of my own personal held opinion. I have a hard time getting as jazzed about the Celtics beating the Wolves. I know they've won a lot of games, and they've won a lot of games in a in a tougher Western Conference. I know that the East has better records this year, but I think that that's also a little bit artificially inflated by the virtue of how often the East plays itself. So I know that the East has that better record, but the West is tough. But I still have a hard time taking the Wolves too seriously. I know they're a good offensive team, but especially with the defense they showed out there tonight. I mean, do you feel like that this was a fair read of a team that a playoff caliber team? Because that's what the Wolves are right now, Taylor. Is there a playoff team in the West? Do you think that this is what the Celtics can expect in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think there's multiple ways to look at it. One, I think the Wolves are not severely underperforming because, as it stands, they are the 4 seed in the West, and you're looking at the Warriors, Rockets, and Spurs ahead of them like that. It's tough. It's a tough conference, to climb the ladder. But at the same time, they're not playing super well, so you can take it with a grain of salt. But also, I think the biggest takeaway is that the Wolves are a good team, regardless of any, underperformance. Like, they are a good team. And you kind of have a weird Friday night game. Like, these Friday night games are always kind of strange to me. They go out, Celtics handle their business in a game where, they're not shooting well, they muck it up, they play good defense, and they win the game. So I think that's a good takeaway that, at least to me anyways, Friday night games kind of seem strange. But they just, do what they need to do. And that's what playoff teams do. Every game they go out there, take care of business, and come out with a W.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're out there, taking care of business night in, night out. Once again, so I think we're gonna wrap this up for the CLNS post game show. Taylor, do you have any final thoughts for the fans to close out the show tonight?
I don't have anything monumental. I hope they go into Brooklyn tomorrow night and they don't overlook it. Look into London. I know they have 5 days off right after this Brooklyn game, and then they play against Philly on the 11th, and they have 5 more days off until the 16th. But I think going into London with a win, keeping this win streak alive right now, I think it's at 6 right now. I think that's really important. And I agree with you fully about the Nets. I think they're much better than people had anticipated. Their record's only 15-23, but they are missing their best player, and they have been for quite some time now. But I said before the season I thought the Nets were going to be better than the Sixers to Bobby. That's not panning out right now, but they are better than most people thought, and it hurts that Cavs pick, which is good for the Celtics in hindsight. So I hope they don't overlook that game. I thought tonight's performance was all around good. So some things could have been better, especially in offense, but it is what it is. Oh, W is a W, and go Celtics.
Yeah, let's go Celtics. Folks, this episode tonight was sponsored by DraftKings.com. So once again, you've heard it a couple of times to the show. You're going to hear it one more time. You're going to use that code CLNS at DraftKings.com to play free with your first deposit for your share of $10,000 in total prizes tonight. Don't wait. Use the code CLNS at DraftKings.com, and you're going to use that now to set your lineup. You can cash in tonight. That's code CLNS only at DraftKings.com, the game inside the game. One more time, your final score is 91-84. The Boston Celtics prevailing over the Minnesota Timberwolves. Big shout out to Ty Ray, Miley from Ohio, my co-host Taylor McLeod, who did an excellent job. This has been the Celtics post-game show. You can join us after every Celtics game at CLNS Media, so that includes tomorrow. I'll be on with the Podfather himself, John Duke. As CLNS Media, we're going to be doing some post-game coverage for you. We're going to do some things live for the Garden for all your home games. You can go to YouTube.com, CLNS Media, for exclusive audio-video coverage. And all of our shows are available on demand and at their conclusion on iTunes. You can go ahead and subscribe in Apple, Stitcher, whatever you may have. You're just going to look for the Celtics post-game show powered by CLNS Media. Folks, once again, for my co-host Taylor McLeod, the excellent Ty Ray and Miley from Ohio, I have been your host, Sam Sheehan. Good night, folks, and we'll catch you here tomorrow night after the Nets game.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.